जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गिरिवर धारी, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरा बनाचारी, जमुना तीरा बनाचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की, ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की निताय गौरा प्रेमनंदी। ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीस टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam canto 10 entitled the Summon Bonan chapter 2 entitled prayers by the demigods by for Lord Krishna in the womb. I'm reading text number 3 all the way to text number 5. I believe number 4 is on the board, so I read text number 3. Te pidita nibibishu kuru pancha lake kayam salvavir darbhani shadan videhang koshalan api. Translation: persecuted by the demoniac king, the Yadavas left their own kingdom and entered various others, like those of the Kurus, Panchalas, Kekayas, Shalvas, Vidarvas, Nishadas, Videhas, and Koshalas. Text number 4. We read together. Eketam anurundhana gyataya paryupashate hateshu Satsubaleshu Devakya Augrushenina Eketan Anurundhana Gyattaya Paryupashate Hateshu Satsubalesu Devakya Augrasenina Eketam Anuram Anurumdhana Gyattaya Paryupashate Hateshu Satsubaleshu Devakya Augrasenina Please chant. Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Jan Ananta Jan no, is it there? No, you don't have to chant. I chant by myself. Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Jan Anantam Prachakshate Garbo Babhu Vade Vakya Harshashoka Vibardhanaha. Word by word. Eke, some of them, tam, amtu kamsa, anurundhana, exactly following his policy, gyatajaha, relative, pariyupashate, began to agree with him. Hateshu, having been killed, Shatshu, six, Baleshu, children, Devakyaha, born of Devaki, Agrushen, Augrasenina, by the sons of Ugrasen, Kamsa, Saptamaha, the seventh, Vaishnavam, of Lord Vishnu, Dhamma, a plenary expansion, Yam, unto whom, Anantam, by the name Ananta, Pachakshate, is celebrated, Garbaha, embryo, Babhuva, there was, Devakyaha, of Devaki, Harsasokabibardhanaha. Simultaneously arousing pleasure and lamentation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kansa's principles and act in his service. After Kansa, the son of Ugrasen, killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. Purport. Some of the chief devotees, such as Akrura, stayed with Kamsa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki, other children, were killed by Kamsa, and they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kamsa's association, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead take birth and displace his childhood pastimes. And Akrura would later go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. The word Pariupashate is significant because it indicates that some of the devotees wanted to stay near Kamsa in order to see all the pastimes of the Lord. The six children killed by Kamsa had formerly been the sons of Marichi, but because of having been cursed by a Brahmana, they were obliged to take birth as the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Kamsa has taken birth as Kalanemi, and now he was obliged to kill his own sons. This was a mystery. As soon as the sons of Devaki were killed, they would return to their original place. The devotees wanted to see this also. Generally speaking, no one kills his own nephews, but Kamsa was so cruel that he did so without hesitation. Ananta, Shankarshan, belongs to the second Chaturbyuha or quadruple expansion. This is the opinion of experienced commentators. Omagyana timirandasya jananjana shalakaja chakshur ummilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna prasaya bhutale shimate Roma pada swami iti namne. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna prasaya bhutale shimate Bhaktivedanta swami iti namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Vanchakalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. The first thing that came to my mind when I read this verse was to try to understand, in one sense, the position of Akrura. And having to accept the association, not just the association, but actually the service of a tyrant, like base demon, that was able to commit all kinds of atrocities, and not only that was surrounded by, you know, some of the most hideous personalities that were at that time, specifically Jarasandha, which was, you know, also like a terrible, tyrannic, demoniac king. He's one of the qualities of these demoniac kings, which actually was the reason by that we hear in the beginning of the canto, that actually right at the end of the ninth canto, how and also the beginning of this canto, how Mother Earth was so overburdened by the presence of these demoniac kings that she fell in a helpless way, impelled to go and request help from the demigods and from Lord Vishnu. That these were the people, these were the big burden from the earth, these terrible demoniac kings, and they were bunched together. It was like a network of demoniac kings, in which basically Kamsa was at the center of it, and Jarasandha was, you know, being, you know, arguably one of the most powerful ones, because in the previous verse it is said that Kamsa was able to feel fully confident because he was under the protection of Jarasandha. And we know a little bit of Jarasandha, that we hear in the past tense of Krishna and Krishna book, that what was Jarasandha's business? He was kidnapping other kings, other leaders, and then put them in prison with the purpose of sacrifice them, do a big, huge human sacrifice of all these kings in order to satisfy Lord Shiva. I mean, some of the things that these demoniac persons, you know, to what extent they're able to go and to create all these schemes to obtain sort of the sense of control and power is pretty inconceivable. So that was Jarasandha, and Jarasandha was the father-in-law of Kamsa. So Kamsa was very dear, and Kamsa in itself was this powerful demon that at his command was some of the most heinous asuras and demons that were there at that time. And that includes Putana and Agasura, Denugasura, Keshi, all these demons, all these famous demons. They were all servants of Kamsa. So you can understand the influence of Kamsa to actually being able to control these powerful demons. The description of these powerful demons were like, you know, say Agasura, who was able to become this huge python snake that will stand, what was it? It's like 8 miles? 8 miles. 8 miles. So 8 miles is, what would you say, Jitendra Prabhu, what's 8 miles from here? You know? So it's like taking the red train from Morse to the loop. That's how long Agasura was. And so these are powerful demons. Now their character was of the worst. In Kamsa, not only imprisoned his own father, he threw Vasudev, who was this very respected and saintly person, you know, among Kshatriyas. Vasudev was extremely wise and saintly. He was recognized like that. And his own sister in prison, and he's just being started to kill all these newborn babies. And you have to live and serve under that person. And that's a position of Akrura. Now, how is he able to do that if we have some what's the word when you have, you know, you you know, if you maintain values, but if you maintain some kind of values, a moral fiber is one, integrity, yes. If you maintain some integrity and moral values, how you be able to do that? To serve under a tyrant who is an uncontrolled demon who is able to do any kind of atrocity and is committing atrocity to others. How can you do that? How you be able to make sort of to have a logic reason for that, if you have some integrity and moral fiber. So that's the position of Akrura. Now, Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains why. And then now you can understand. Akrura was in full understanding. And so, I imagine, you know, I mean, of the relative, because it's a plural, so several of the relatives that stay, most of them have fled to different kingdoms. You know, some of the famous kingdoms that were there. And take shelter. Panchala is the kingdom of Draupada, which is the father of Draupadi. That's the kingdom of Panchala. And Kaushal, I can't remember, but there's all these kingdoms that were famous among, you know, the dynasty of Jadu, that were prominent kingdoms with powerful kings. So many of the Jadus took shelter of that, but some of them stay, and they have to serve Kamsa, and they have to accept this war, Anurundhana, exactly following his policies. You have to accept his policies. You have to serve under his policies. And you have to agree with him. So you have all these members of the Jadu family, some of them stayed in that position. Of them, the most famous is Akrura, and the one the most known, and the one that, you know, represents those relatives, you know, the example. So Prabhupada gives explanation how and why. And the how and why is because they fully understood. Akrura fully understood Krishna's position and Krishna's plan. He heard it. He was present there. He also heard the voice, the unembodied voice that gave the understanding that Kamsa was going to be killed by the eighth son of Devaki. But they have, you know, these were very advanced people. He had an understanding of that Krishna was going to descend to kill Kamsa. That Lord, you know, the personality of Godhead was going to appear as the son of Devaki. And he wanted to assist. He wanted to be a witness of Krishna's pastimes. And that was his meditation. And that became very clear when he finally was going to see Krishna. And when he was sent by Kamsa, after all the demons fell, Kamsa devised this plan. Okay, now he personally going to bring Krishna to Mathura, and he personally was going to oversee him being killed. So he arranged for this festival. I think it was called the Ball Festival, and he arranged for this sport event, wrestling match. And then he invited Krishna and Balaram. So he sent Akrura to pick up Krishna and Balaram, and Akrura's is explained that he achieved perfection just by praying this bandana method, or the one of the nine processes of devotional service. Akrura exemplifies this bandana. Is it bandana? No, Archana is not. Is Archana? Vandana is Vandana. His prayer for Krishna's lotus feet. He went the whole track from Mathura to Vrindavan just in full meditation, prayful meditation for the lotus feet of Krishna to see. And so he has a perfect understanding of Krishna's position. And thus he was able to tolerate. He was able to tolerate the atrocities and the association, the close association of Kamsa. Akrura was one of the ministers of Kamsa. He was a powerful warrior in himself, one of the Jadu warriors. He was an uncle of Krishna he share the same great-grandfather, you know, the same lineage from the Jadu dynasty of Krishna. So by blood, he was an uncle. And so as a relative of Krishna, there was that connection. And extremely qualified, extremely wise, extremely powerful too. And later he fought along with Krishna when Jarasandha will come and try to attack Mathura and Dwarka. And he was present throughout all the different great occasions, like, you know, during Draupadi Swayambara, during the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, and all the things like that. Very close personality or devotee of Krishna. The point is this tolerance. How you able to tolerate? And I was just thinking, most people have to accept some sort of ordeal and they tolerate. You know, and they actually tolerate a lot of distress. in general, humans are able to take a lot of distress and tolerate for whatever personal purpose or circumstance they have. Sometimes it is sort of observe the capacity that humans have for tolerance. When you see in certain very difficult circumstances how people survive, and in some situations, circumstantially, you have to tolerate because you're helpless. You have no other choice. And what allows you to hold and go through those very difficult situations and tolerate have to do with, you have to hold to something. You have to hold to something that keeps you or give you the strength to actually go through and tolerate. For example, for some people, family. So in order to tolerate the difficult situation, you have people that are put, you know, prisoners of war, and they have to tolerate torture and all kinds of difficult situations, but they hold out of the belief of, you know, being able to be rescued at one point and be back and united with their family or their children and things like that. And those ideas keep them tolerating. You have to hold to something to tolerate. And we have people that hold to the idea of obtaining some desire, wealth. So we have people that tolerate all kinds of austerities just for the sake of actually obtaining some material desire. And you have people, you know, being in traffic, stuck for 2 hours going and 2 hours coming back, sometimes more, just for the sake of maintaining a job that allows them to get some wealth and things like that. So you tolerate out of, you have to hold to something. And in the case of Akrura, his tolerance was because he was holding to this idea that he will see personally the personality of Godhead, and he was able to witness his pastimes. And you can assume too that both Vasudev and Devaki were having the same understanding. And so the other relative of the Jadus, they have that same understanding. They were able to tolerate and to bear all these atrocities and this torture and this terrible situation just because they could understand that. So what can we take home ourselves in terms of tolerance? Because that tolerance is basically one of the most important principles in the path of devotional service, especially when we have some condition. We are actually affected by some material conditioning. Krishna tells us through, you know, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, that we have to apply this principle in order to be able to advance and go through. Tams titikshava bharata. Titikshava means tolerance. So we have to tolerate we have to learn to tolerate the different things that comes out of the dualities that are there in material nature. Specifically, he mentioned happiness and distress. We have to be able to tolerate and remain equipoise, not being affected. I like one class that Nityananda Prana Prabhu gave, that he was touching on this point, that when happiness or distress actually comes out of one action, so circumstantially, when it crosses the line that it start to affect your capacity of doing your duties, then that's when it crosses the line, that's when it's not right, that's when it does wrong to you, that's when it harms you. So if happiness, you become so elated by happiness that you start to, it clouded your duties, your higher duties, then it becomes an obstacle. It becomes something that is negative, that is, I have to be given up. Similarly with the stress. So we have to tolerate. Tolerate means that you don't allow, you control it. You don't allow to affect your capacity to understand what is the right thing to do. You have to remain equipoise. Easy to say, very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. But we have to cultivate it, because it is explained that, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, distress, or becomes what is called provoking situations, you know, when you're really tested, you know, when it touches some of the fibers, you know, internal things that are part of yourself, that, you know, that are things that are just, you know, too much to take in terms of, you know, something that you observe or something that you are exposed to, that sort of goes very much against your own nature, those provoking situations that, you know, at times we have to face. So there is a say that one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. That's when the fiber or the advancement or the, you know, the much greater stages of consciousness is exposed, is clearly exposed. How we react, and in the case of these great personalities such as Akrura, Vasudev, Devaki, you know, you can see how they're reacting, how they remain, the course of action doesn't change, and they're able to remain in the situation, understanding what the purpose is, and just waiting patiently and tolerating everything, because they understand that this is going to happen, and they will come to the position in which they will unite with the personality of Godhead. So for us, what allows to hold that thing that we have to embrace, that we have to see, that ideal, that is to actually become a pure devotee, or become connected with Krishna and you know, to grow into our relationship. We have some experience. Krishna gave us that taste, that higher taste. But, you know, I always remember my spiritual master telling me, you know, one of those moments of feeling of what people call a religious experience, feeling something that was, you know, just a moment of some intense, you know, happiness that I never experienced before, and it was just a moment during Kirtan and Harinam. And when I told my spiritual master about it, that I had this experience, he said that Krishna gave me a drop of the experience of the happiness of the soul. And then he say, imagine being in that position 24/7, all the time. That's the life of a spirit soul. That moment, that was like, you know, a flickering moment, that's your reality all the time. And so that hope, that's what we're looking for, to be able to function as a soul, and to have that type of connection, the type of connection with, you know, not just with Krishna and your spiritual master, but all the great personalities that are there, Srila Prabhupada, the Six of Swamis, Lord Chaitanya, like that. So we hold to that. We hold to that, and we should be able to tolerate. We can that's why it's explained that Krishna does so expertly when he gives us a taste, because that taste is what carries the devotees throughout their life. You really want to go deeper. And with that idea, you don't let it go. You hold to the idea that at one point we're going to be witness and associating the pastimes with the Lord, and witness his pastimes, just as an example of Akrura. So we're going to hear more in the next few days. Now we're entering the appearance of Lord Krishna, especially right now we're going to be discussing the appearance of Lord Baladev and Balaram. One nice detail is that the one that appears as the sons of Vasudev and Devaki is Ananta, which is a manifestation of the second Chaturbyuha. So we know that there is that Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, and then his first pansion is Lord Balaram, and then from Lord Balaram the first Chaturbyuha, and from Shankarshan then the second Chaturbyuha, and then that Shankarshan or Ananta is the one that appears as the son of Vasudev. Explain also part of the mysteries that are there is that Lord Balaram, actual Balaram, the first expansion of Lord Krishna, does appear as the son of Rohini. And so part of the great mysteries of Krishna's pastimes too, just as Yashoda Nandan Krishna is that original personality, is not
Vasudev. Vasudev is his expansion, so keep in tune. Any comments or questions? Yes, Keshava Kishore.
Thanks for the class. I was thinking that when we endure the causes of our distresses and unhappiness, might be the causes of our own distresses, whereas ignoring them may have the same effect that when we endure them and overcome those situations. What do you think about that? Ignoring versus enduring them.
Well, the way I understand it is that either ignoring them or enduring them without the proper understanding or direction, then is equally detrimental. Explain that what makes it progressive for us is when we are directed by, you know, transcendence, and that happens, you know, when we are under Krishna's system, which is under the spiritual master. So the spiritual master gives us what is called our swadharma. Prabhupada explains that in purport in the Bhagavad Gita, I think one verse, I can't remember the verse, but famous, I think it's the second chapter, that our spiritual master gives us our material dharma or directions of how to engage in the world, you know, according to our propensities, and he also gives us our spiritual dharma. So those two things, the spiritual and material. And so directions of how to act in the world, and he gave us our spiritual practices, our sadhana, and, you know, you chant, you study, you did this, you associate with devotees. All, you know, these things are given by the spiritual master. And once we are guided like that, we are on the Krishna system, then that's the element that allows us to be progressive. And when our tolerance or not paying attention, regardless of how, you know, the devotee deals with a particular ordeal, it remains progressive as long as you're guided by transcendence, by your spiritual master.
I was talking in the possibility scenario in which both attitudes towards an adverse situation would be under the our spiritual master's guidance and our principles, both so, situations.
Okay.
Not ignoring because I'm aloof and I don't care. No. It's both.
Yeah. Sometimes, difficult to say, sometimes ignoring won't be the right thing to do. You know, so at one point you have to face it. Sometimes ignoring may be the right thing to do, you know. Sometimes we have the intelligence to do it. Sometimes we don't have the intelligence because it's more a very deep rooted, you know, attachment that we have to overcome. And we have it in examples of even great personalities that are narrated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that they have to be awakened, you know, by some ordeal like that. To understand, you know, that there was something that they have to change. And Krishna helps like that. It's pretty amazing how Krishna orchestrates things for the devotees or for those who are under his system. You know, you are come to face some of your anarthas, and some of them, the more deep ones, we're just not fully aware. You know, so it's a matter of you know, that you tend to, and there's certain things that we tend to ignore because we don't think necessarily much of, you know, as something that is, that I have to change, or that's required, or that it becomes an obstacle for me. You know, I got it. You know, I don't need, you know, I don't need to pay attention to that. I'm on control. You know, sometimes we think like that. And that's basically perpetuating an obstacle. And then it comes, you know, the spiritual master, Krishna, and the spiritual master, Super Soul, you know, just start to give you a sense that there's something wrong. You know, sometimes your spiritual master deals with you in a certain way that start to question, makes you question, you know, actually, you know, what, you start to be introspective. Sometimes circumstances make you be introspective. So Krishna is bringing you to a position that at one point we have to face our anarthas, our things, and we have to deal with them, and we have to go face to face with those things to eliminate them. At one point we have to, you know, hands on eliminate them. So I would say of both of the two is not ignoring, but, you know, goals. But sometimes ignoring, you know, if maybe the right situation at a certain, you know, I don't know if I make sense of that. That's all right? Yes, Prabhu.
I had a question, but I don't have much time, so I might not be able to hear the answer. But I just wanted to appreciate the points about tolerance and how everyone in devotional service has to tolerate the conditionings. I'm starting to experience that more and more, like the conditioning is becoming more prominent. We're more at, like the point you just made, it's more on a subconscious level, but then it starts coming more and more to the conscious level, and having to just tolerate that and keep serving and keep chanting and hearing. I thought it was a really nice point that you brought up from this verse. So.
Yeah. I found one thing, that it really have to be based on a relationship that would allow us, you know, to go further and to keep going. Not give up. It have to be. They have to be a strong tie, and it comes from a relationship. You know, we do experience our relationship with Krishna, but it's not super developed for many of us, especially in the beginning stages of our devotional service. Still, sort of holding on, you know, on something else. So I have a relationship with the deities, but I also ignore them too. So it's not a deep, deep relation. I have a relationship with the holy name, but you see how much, you know, we commit offenses towards the holy name, who is, you know, is Srinam, is a person. So what really holds these things together, through that allows you to go through the years of ordeals, is your relationship with your spiritual master. That's the prime relationship that is there. It's the one that is the game changer for conditioned souls, because it's the closest and more intimate spiritual relationship that we have, you know, because it's face to face. It's based on service. It's based on receiving. It's based on giving. It's all these things are there, but in a very transcendentally intimate way, because it has to do with the soul. It has to do with your, you know, with elevating yourself. So if that relationship is strong, then you can actually tolerate without giving up Krishna consciousness, you know, go through all the different ordeals. So we're really depending on that one, because even the friendships that we made with devotees and things like that, you know, we still connected. There's still certain material things that get mixed with that from ourselves. But with the spiritual master, is in another level, because it's you can you actually experience you know, the transcendental connection with Krishna through that. So it's a spiritual thing. So we're sort of depending on that. That's what's gonna carry us through, because you always remember the gratitude that you have towards your spiritual master, and you don't, you know, you want to be able to serve and to satisfy him, jasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam, you know. And you try, you keep trying, because, you know, because of that loving relationship. You do it out because you love your Guru Maharaj, you know. And that's how people, the same principle that people use in the material world to tolerate their love towards something, their attachment towards something, it usually have to do with relationships too. The same principle works with us, but, you know, directed in the right way. Any other thing? Just one more question, if there's there. Okay, thank you so much. Garam Tarashimam Bhagavatam Ki Jai.